Be reading. You hear the phrase that the church is full of hypocrites, and that's true. There's two types of hypocrites. You got those who are not what they claim to be. That's the real hypocrite. And there could be some of you in this meeting this morning. Some of you may be claiming to be a Christian. You have a profession, but you're not one. You don't even act like one, but you claim to be one. And in this type of hypocrites, there's those who know they're hypocrites, and there's some that don't know they're hypocrites. So some of you may be claiming to be a Christian, and you think you are a Christian, but you're not one. That would be a very terrible place to be in and be a self-deceived hypocrite. Other hypocrites are just know they're hypocrites. And maybe that's you too. And then there, I don't know if it's even right to call the rest of us hypocrites. I mean, I preach every Sunday and I don't live up to everything I preach. I preach humility, but I'm full of pride. I preach obedience, but I have disobedience in my life. We're all hypocrites to some degree. But I don't know if that really classifies as hypocrisy, because we don't make the claim that we're perfect. We're not trying to present ourselves out to be glorified just yet. We acknowledge that we're sinful and needing for forgiveness. So regardless of where you are on this scale of hypocrisy, we fit in there somewhere. And the best thing for us to do is to humble ourselves. Well, see, that really we want to answer our hypocrisy through humbling ourselves and just being honest. Because hypocrisy is dishonesty. Being dishonest with God, being dishonest with others, and being dishonest with ourselves. And some of you are just flat out dishonest about your state. I know there's some people who claim to be Christians, but deep down may not be sure of it, but they're scared to reveal it because it would be humbling. Well, I thought you were a Christian this whole time. But down deep, you may not be. And you may be going to hell because of pride. Not willing to humble yourself and be transparent. Hypocrisy is the behavior that directly contradicts what one claims or what one feels. The true hypocrite is the one who claims to be a Christian and is not one. The worst thing for you is if you woke up on the day of judgment and you claim to be a Christian, you find out that you're not. I want each of you to imagine that's you. Now, I don't want people who have assurance of salvation to be doubting their salvation. But hypothetically, just go with me here. Think about this. The day of judgment, you're before God. And you say, Lord, Lord. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. And you may be thinking, well, you know, I did this, I did that. And this is what hypocrites do, right? They list their accomplishments. They think about the things they've done. And they take their assurance in their past works. And this is what Jesus addresses in Matthew 7. Many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Were we not pastors and preachers? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do many works in your name? But Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Think about that being you. Because if hypocrisy is in part self-deception, then we all need to make sure of our calling and make sure of our election. We need to examine ourselves. There's no more important thing you can do is to know your eternal state and not take it for granted. So each of us need to make sure that we're not hypocrites. In Romans chapter 2, Paul's explaining why the possession of the law is of no moral value to disobedient Jews. The Jews boasted in the fact that they were God's people and that they had the law given to them in Mount Sinai. But throughout this chapter, he's given four reasons that the Jews should not boast in their possession of the law. One, we've already looked at the beginning of chapter 2, that though the Jews would judge the Gentiles as unclean because they have no law to instruct them on how to live, the Jews are just as guilty of breaking the very law that they condemn the Gentiles of breaking. Secondly, though the law promises eternal life for those who obey, it also, however, brings eternal damnation to those who don't. Three, Danny looked at this last week. Though they have the law given to them on tablets of stone, this doesn't make them morally better because the Gentiles have it written in their conscience. And what we get to in this text, chapter 2, verse 17 through 24, though the Jews claimed to be keepers of the law, they were hypocrites. They were lawless. Begin reading with me in verse 17. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of the knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that you must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Paul's claiming the Jews are just hypocrites. They boast in the law, but they end up breaking the law. The Lord called hypocrites wolves in sheep's clothing. He calls them snakes and a brood of vipers. One of the most interesting labels he calls the scribes and the Pharisees, these hypocrites, he calls them whitewashed tombs. You've cleaned yourself up on the outside. You've made yourself look good to others. You're respectable. You're kind. You know how to present yourself as a decent citizen. You look like the real thing, but inside you're nothing more than dead bones. You look good on the outside, but it's just a facade. Deep down, you're a hypocrite. And that could be you. Everybody, your family even thinks, oh yeah, you're a Christian. But deep down, you hate God and you love yourself. You love this world. And your Christianity is just a facade. And you're so good at tricking others that you're deceived yourself. Jesus says, Matthew 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and of all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This morning we want to look at dirty bones. We want to take the facade of your beautiful whitewashed tomb and take that away and take a look into your soul and look at the old nasty, dirty bones underneath it all. And there's four bones four unclean, dirty bones that this text reveals about these Jews and maybe even reveals about you. The first dirty bone behind the facade is self-deception. Look at verse 17 through 18 with me. But you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God. The problem here is that these Jews did not know they're hypocrites. They boasted in the fact, hey, we're Jews. I mean, they're so self-confident that they'll boast in their own identity. We are God's people here. We are Jews. We are Christians. I'm a Christian. Say it with confidence. But these Jews were self-deceived. They were self-deceived in three ways. One, by identifying themselves as being the real people of God. I'm a Jew. That's more than saying I'm American. That's saying I'm a child of Abraham. That's saying I am a particular person in the kingdom of heaven. I'm a Jew. I'm a Christian, you may be thinking. Like these Jews, you can talk the talk. In fact, they called themselves Jews and they boasted in God. They relied upon the law and made their boast in God. The word boast here could be translated glory. They gloried in God or they exalted in God. This could be translated as proud. I'm a proud Christian. I'm proud to be a child of the living God. Boasting, exalting in God. We just got through worshiping in song. And you may have just sung out the loudest. You may be the one who really felt it down deep. Praised and worshiped God. So not only you identify as a Christian, as these Jews identified as being the children of Abraham, but you can worship with Christians. You even enjoy going to church. It'd be as surprising on the day of judgment how many worshipers of God will spend eternity in hell. Sadly, I think churches are full of hypocrites. But not only do you claim to be a Christian, maybe even worship God and glory in God. It goes on to say in verse 18, you may even know your scriptures. You may have good Bible knowledge, thinking that your expertise in the scriptures makes you a Christian. Look at 18 with me. And know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law. You know, you rely upon this law. You've got the law. The law, we'll see in a minute, is the embodiment of all truth and knowledge. And so you have the book. Not just the Ten Commandments, you have the law and the prophets. Sometimes the Bible uses the word law as emblematic of the Old Testament scriptures. You have the book. You know the book. You've studied the scriptures. You've been to Sunday school your whole life. And with this knowledge, you're able to approve what is excellent. This is what the Jews could do. They could prove what is excellent. This really means to rightly discern between not just what is good and bad, but discern between what is good and better. You have the expertise, you have the knowledge to go, now this is what is most wise in this circumstance. And you're good at that because you're instructed with the scriptures. You're not left, if you would, in mental darkness. You have the Word of God to help you make decisions. Typically, hypocrites are really good at telling other people how to live. They know exactly what the other person should have done. Not necessarily good at applying it themselves, But they can find a fault in others quick. Oh, that brother, oh, he didn't know what he was thinking there, what he's doing there. Hypocrites are good armchair quarterbacks, aren't they? And they can pick out a verse and a scriptures to critique people with easily. They understand the scriptures. For hypocrites who are claiming to be Christian, you may even understand the gospel. You may know the way of eternal life. One of my mentors that I looked up to when I was growing up, young in the ministry, I was relaying a story to him. I was just a young preacher. And I was telling him that I was sitting across from another older preacher talking to him. And right in the middle of my sentence, he looked away and started talking to someone else. You know, that's pretty rude. I just left mid-sentence. Which means he probably wasn't even focused on what I was saying. But I was relaying that to this other preacher friend. And I remember him getting incensed, indignant. How dare that preacher do that? And he got mad as a hornet. I'm like, whoa. Come to find out that this preacher was in the midst of committing sexual sins as he was mad at someone else. Big hypocrite. Big hypocrite. You know, Jesus warns of us being able to find the little gnat in someone's eye. We have a log in our own. We've already talked about that several weeks ago, that the key in helping others is being humble ourselves. But hypocrites are usually proud. We'll get to that in a minute. But see, they're self-deceived. That's the danger of hypocrisy. You don't even know you're a hypocrite. Hypocrites are other people, not me. That's the problem. You may be a hypocrite and you don't even not even aware of it. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Hey, I'm a hypocrite"? I mean, typically they don't announce that or confess that or think that. If you're a hypocrite, you may just have all the right answers. What's scary, though, is you may be in the group of those who, on the day of judgment, hear the Lord say, "Depart from me." Even though you preached, you prophesied, you've done many good works, you went to church, you gave, you did a lot of good things. And you can find reasons to go, "Look at me, I've done this and that." In the end, you just got dirty bones. You're full of dirty bones, full of a wicked heart, full of uncleanness in you. The second dirty bone we see is in verses 19 and 20. Is arrogance, pride. Look at this with me. The beginning of verse 19 says, and if you are sure that you yourself are God, you're sure, you've got confidence, and your confidence is where? In yourself. And that's the problem with hypocrisy. It's not a confidence in Christ, which breeds humility and a lowliness. It's a self-confidence. Self-confidence and self-deceptions go together, which also goes together with pride and arrogance. See, the word "sure" here, "you're sure," means to be convinced or to be persuaded. The King James translates this word as confident. You're confident. Your confidence is not in Christ, but yourself. In fact, this is translated in Matthew 27, verse 43, as trusted. He trusted in God. His confidence was in God. He found his surety in God. But in this text, these Jews find their confidence in themselves. They have the law. And they think that they're sufficient with that. Thus, they're arrogant. Remember the Pharisee who's a hypocrite who was in the temple and he says, I think you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over there. I think you that I'm not like this other man. I'm full of humility. No, this guy's arrogant and prideful. I mean, he can't even pray without sinning. And that's the problem with the hypocrites. You'll have some good deeds over here that you put your finger on and you take pride in, but you can't even do that without sinning in your own self-confidence. What arrogance, what pride is in hypocrites? You see, hypocrites are arrogant because they view themselves above others. It goes on to say in verse 19, and if you are sure that yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you're sure that you know how to teach others. You're a guide to the blind. You're a teacher of the children. Others need you because you've got wisdom. You've got discernment. You've got the law. You've got the scriptures. You've got the truth. My first experience with the World Wide Web was when I was a sophomore in college. And I remember getting the internet for the first time. It kind of dates me a little bit. But it went dialed up, you know, you waited forever. And I got on one of these Christian forums. I was going to talk about something or find out what people were talking about. And I put my 2 cents in. And some person goes, basically, I don't remember what he said, but he says, you're an idiot. Called me an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Where did you learn that from? You definitely haven't been looking at the scriptures. However, if you need a teacher, I'll be glad to teach you. I was like, I don't think so. I'm not being an idiot, I'll admit that. But I don't want to get instruction from an arrogant person. Well, that's what's going on here. I mean, these Jews, these scribes, these Pharisees, I mean, they're full of dead man's bones. They're wicked people, but they think they're the teachers. You know, Matthew 23, Jesus says of these hypocrites, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their prelates, these little things they put on their garments, broad and their fingers long. These things were meant to remind them to keep the law. So they make them longer. So they can be seen by others. Look, I'm a law keeper. This is like saying, hey, I keep the law. I'm a strict Jew. And they love the place of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. They love the attention. See, hypocrites typically are arrogant and want a following. And that's why we need to be careful that we don't seek to promote ourselves. Especially as young Christians, we need to be careful to think, oh, okay, I have something to say. We've been a Christian 2 days and we want to be a teacher. We want to instruct others. It's a very prideful thing to think that we are capable or sufficient to be able to instruct others. But the hypocrites have no qualms and exalting themselves in great positions of teaching. James 3 tells us, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So we don't need to be eager to be teaching others. Charles Spurgeon says, it is a terrible, easy matter to be a minister of the gospel and a vile hypocrite at the same time. See, this is a sign of hypocrisy. Always want to teach others. Always have a word for someone else. Knowing how to instruct everybody. You know, it's good for us to say, well, I really don't know what's best there. And just be honest. This is a hard thing. And not feel like we have always the right answer. And think we're always right in all circumstances. Because the truth is, we're not. We're fallible men. We're fallible men, and we only see through a glass darkly. We only have partial knowledge. We need to be humble about these things. I think pride is the number one cause of falling into sin. That scares me as a preacher. Because I see pride in my life. But humility seeks to hide our accomplishments. It seeks to get in out of the spotlight. It promotes others rather than promoting self. Humility seeks not to think more highly of yourself as you ought to think. Yet it's hypocrisy that is not willing to confess our faults to one another. It's hypocrisy that says, hey, I'm not willing to lower my estimation of myself and have others to think less of myself. You see, hypocrisy is the opposite of humility. It wants others to think better of him or herself than what is warranted. See, this pride leads to hypocrisy. It puts a prettier face than reality. I mean, have you ever been tempted to promote the good things in your life? And have you been tempted to hide the bad things? We're all tempted in that way. Let's be honest. We all don't want people to really know who we are. Right? I mean, but we're sinners saved by God's grace. God be the glory. We don't have to be a hypocrite even though we sin if we confess our sins and be humble about it. But hypocrisy will not humble itself. And this leads to the third dirty bone of hypocrisy, found in verses 21 through 22. It's dishonesty. The third dirty bone of hypocrisy is dishonesty. That is a mouthful. Thomas Watson, hypocrites are like snow-covered dunghills. Look beautiful because you're all pretty and white, but underneath, they stink. Thus, hypocrisy is just flat-out dishonesty. Look at verse 21. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You preach everything good, and you teach others, but you don't even listen to yourself. You're a liar. You're dishonest. You're a fake. You're claiming to be a Christian, but you're not. You're not applying what you tell others to yourself. Dishonesty is preaching against stealing, but yet you suppress the poor or covet the rich. Dishonesty by preaching against adultery, but privately you're lust in your hearts. Dishonesty in requiring others of that which you're unwilling to do yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 1, the scribes and the Pharisees sat at Moses' seat, so do observe whatever they tell you, but not the work that they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their fingers. See the pride in that? That's for you to do. And if you don't do it, you're a wicked person. All the while, you can't even live up to it yourself. You see, hypocrisy feeds off legalism. At the end of verse 22, it says, "You abhor idols and do you rob temples?" You know, here you say idolatry is wrong. You should worship the only true and living God. You make that claim, but you don't even give to the temple. You don't give to the church. You say, hey, you should love God, but you don't serve God. You know, you're holding back your gifts and your offerings. That's what it seems to be saying here. You say idolatry is wrong, but you don't even worship the real God and serve the real God. If you really thought idolatry is wrong, you would serve God. You may say, well, Muslims are wrong. They're going to hell. Christianity is right. But if you really believe that, then submit to his lordship. See, hypocrites pride themselves in obeying the minor point of the law while neglecting the more weightier points of the law. Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe a mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you have ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." This is what hypocrites typically do. They'll find something they're good at, something they're doing well. And sometimes it's a mild scruple. And sometimes it's just a personal area of conviction that's not even commanded in scriptures. And they'll find their particular conviction and find a whole host of people not doing that, and begin to judge and look down upon those who are not doing their particular scruple. All the while, they're filled with pride and arrogance and all manner of sinful things, while they're looking down their nose on someone who's not doing the little things. As they're swatting a little gnat, they're swallowing the big camel, forgetting to love, forgetting to be humble, forgetting to be charitable, kind, merciful, forgiving. These big things they don't do, although they're able to do quite well the little small things. It's amazing how you can justify arrogance and condescension and gossip and unforgiveness when you put the lesser things of the law greater than the more important things of the law. It's amazing what righteous indignation we can have when we put our matters of personal conscience above the fruits of the Spirit. But I guess we have a right to feel superior when people don't watch the movies that we watch, or don't do the things that we don't do. You see, some here may be like the scribes and Pharisees. They may be whitewashed tombs. Underneath it, nothing but dead bones. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like a whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful outwardly, but your heart is wrong. Externally, you can keep the commandments as good as any. You know how to look well. But there's bitterness, envy, jealousy, covetousness, rotten your soul." So Some of you may be like the Christians at the Church of Sardis. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. This leads us to the fourth and final unclean bone, and that is you bring dishonor and shame upon God. This is found in verses 23 through to the rest to 24. First of all, in 23, we see you boast in the law. You who boast in the law, you boast in glory in God. You boast and you outwardly, you say the right things. But behind the scenes, you end up breaking the law. You know what to say with your mouth, but your actions do not follow up. Isaiah 29:13, the people draw near with me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. And Jesus repeats this passage in Matthew 15:8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Where's your heart this morning? He says, well, Jeff, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do you see the fruits of the Spirit? Is there humility? Is there gentleness? Is there love? Is there patience? Is there kindness? See, these are heart issues. That is the important issues to get right. And these external things will take care of itself. If you get your heart right, you'll probably watch the right things. You don't get your heart right by not watching the right things. Don't focus upon external do's and don'ts of the scruples, these minor things, if you don't even know how to love God and love your neighbor. It's hypocrisy. Such hypocrisy brings not praise and glory, but disgrace and shame upon God. Look at verse 24. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You know, my pastoral friend, the mentor that I was telling you about that was committing sexual sins with minors. Such a disgrace it brought upon the name of that church. The church had to change its name and move location. If you're claiming to be a Christian, you're taking that name everywhere you go. And if you're living like a non-Christian, you're bringing shame, not just upon you, not upon your father's name. You're bringing shame upon God. And this shame and disgrace causes unbelievers to speak bad about God. They blaspheme God because of you. Rather than leading to others praising and glorifying God, they end up blaspheming, which means speaking evil of. Your life is either making other people like God more, or you're causing other people to despise God. Is this what Christianity is all about? Truthfully, the real hypocrites have been the deterrent to Christianity. It's true. That's what Christianity is. I don't want it. Because the non-Christian doesn't separate the hypocrite from the real deal. We just need to make sure that we're not contributing to the hypocrisy. These dirty bones are self-deception, arrogance, dishonesty, and dishonor to God. Well, what must I do not to be a hypocrite? Be honest. Be humble. Be willing to be taught. Be transparent. Say to yourself, search me, O Lord, and see if there's any evil way. Know me. Try me. Humble yourself. Every Christian, probably every day or every other day or every 3 days or at least once a week, needs to have a little meeting with God. And not just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and pass on. You need to have a little meeting with God and say, oh, God, forgive me. Be real with God. Those who seek to hide their sins shall not prosper. But if you confess them, And sometimes it's important for us to confess our sins to one another. And you can be not a hypocrite. You can be the real deal. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord.